Before the playwright August Wilson died a few years ago, he wrote a 10-play cycle that's widely regarded as one of the greatest works of the American theater. Now, for the first time ever, audiences can see all 10 performed in the same venue.
Mr. Ponder's boys didn't ruin your good time last night, Jeremy. What you planning for tonight?
They got me scared to go out, Mr. Bonham. They might grab me again.
Each play explores the African-American experience through a different decade. The Kennedy Center in Washington is presenting them in repertory this month. They've called the project August Wilson's 20th Century. Many refer to it as the Pittsburgh Cycle, since 9 of the 10 are set in the Pittsburgh neighborhood where Wilson grew up.
I think this is probably one of the most exciting times of my life to be able to be a part of this event here at the Kennedy Center.
That's Kenny Leon, the series' artistic director. Like many of the people involved in this project, Leon worked closely with August Wilson during his life. Leon organized this cycle, which includes the Pulitzer Prize-winning works Fences and The Piano Lesson, along with other well-known plays, such as Ma Rainey's Black Bottom and Joe Turner's Come and Gone. At the Kennedy Center, 41 actors play 77 of Wilson's characters, from former slaves to college-educated yuppies.
Sometimes in this country, we marginalize him as an African-American playwright, but if you look at the poetry of his work, if you look at the beauty of his character development and the dramatic structure, you see that he was a genius, even among giants. So he stands shoulder to shoulder with Chekhov and Shakespeare and Ibsen.
Wilson did not write the plays chronologically. He finished the last one, set in the 90s, just before he died of liver cancer at age 60 in 2005. Each play is designed to stand alone, but watch them consecutively, and Leon says they talk to each other.
The first play, Jim and Ocean, 1904, you have slavery is ended, but most African Americans in this country didn't have a home, didn't have jobs, didn't have a place to eat. So Citizen Barlow steps into that world, into that play. He knocks on Aunt Esther's door, a lost, tormented soul.
House. I'll come to see Aunt Esther.
But by the end of that play, he has a bond to his past. If you flash forward to Radio Golf, which is the last play, you have African Americans who are politically successful, economically successful, but where's the sense of community?
Well, Jeremy, I don't see him around here this morning. He usually be around here riffing and raffing on Saturday morning.
Joe Turner's Come and Gone is the second play in the cycle, after Gem of the Ocean. It's set in 1911, when former slaves were flooding into Pittsburgh.
Mr. Ponder's boys got him, huh? They ain't gonna do nothing but hold him for a little while. You're gonna be back here hungry and a mule directly.
I don't go for all that carrying on and such. This is a respectable house. I don't have no drunkards or fools around here.
Well, that boy got a lot of country in him. He ain't been up here but 2 weeks. It's going to take him a while before he can work that country out of him.
Todd Kreidler directs the Kennedy Center production of Joe Turner. He was a close friend and colleague of Wilson's.
Those themes of African heritage and slavery are very literal and tangible and real in the early plays. What happens to those as you move forward chronologically?
What I've heard August say is that the people begin to lose their song. They begin to lose their way by adopting, you know, a lot of influences from dominant Western European culture until we get to Radio Golf at the end, which really those two worlds meet face to face and sort of square off. And August always said, he said, if you drop the ball, you have to go back and pick it up. If you arrive in the end zone, it's not a touchdown unless you carry the ball across with you.
My daddy taught me the meaning of this thing that I had seen and showed me the way to find my song. I asked him about the shining man. He said he's the one who goes before and shows the way. He said there was a lot of shining men. And if I ever saw one again before I died, that I would know that my song had been accepted and had worked its full power in the world. And I could lay down and die a happy man, a man who done left his mark on life. On the way.
You were very close with August Wilson during his life. Tell me about your relationship with him. I mean, you're sometimes described as his assistant, but assistant doesn't really describe it.
Yeah, I started. I mean, that's how we met. I was put in a room with him, and I worked at Pittsburgh Public Theater during the world premiere of King Hedley. You know, I'd always been a writer, and we just started a relationship, which was largely personal. And then one day in rehearsal, he brought a note card, and he said, man, he said, this is one of King's speeches. It goes in the play, but I don't know where it goes. Can you find a place for it?
What did that feel like to you when suddenly this titan of the American theater is asking you to help structure one of his plays?
I mean, I was in it. You know, I was in the play, and that moment was built upon conversations and shared sensibilities and the great mystery of any human relationship in our lives. We certainly cut a strange sight. I mean, I was, you know, I was 24, 25 at the time. I looked 18, so I was like this 18-year-old white kid with August, and it was puzzling. It's still puzzling to folks.
Describe for me a typical day working with August Wilson on one of these plays, if you could.
A typical day. My cell phone rings at 8 o'clock in the morning. Hey, man, what you doing, man? You up? Yeah. You want to get some breakfast? Sure. I'll meet you at the spot. Now, see, the spot was whatever city we were in, it's where we would hang out and start our day for breakfast. So it was Cartons in Chicago, the Mecca in Seattle. Here in D.C., it was Cuppa Cuppa. I mean, every city had a spot, and that's where we'd start our day. And every day, we'd start off with at least three elements. We always had music, we always had the newspaper, and we always had stories. The newspaper would always launch something. You know, Gem of the Ocean, early on when he was writing it, he said, okay, he says, it's set in 1904, but it's being written in 2004. So if you look at the play, I mean, at its heart, it's about, you know, moral law versus human law.
See, you try to be like your mother. I don't know why your mother never liked me. Your mother tried to poison you against me, and you let her.
You kidding that boy over a loaf of bread? Ain't got nothing to do with my mother. Always trying to hide behind that.
The male actor in that clip is Ruben Santiago Hudson. He played the character Caesar in Gem of the Ocean, both on Broadway and in the Kennedy Center production. He's also directing one of the shows in the cycle.
People talk about languages being Shakespearean or Pinter-esque, and there is as distinctive an August Wilson type of language. How do you describe what makes August Wilson's language distinct in his plays?
It's distinct because it's authentic, what I call Northern colored people. Black folk from the South who came North but brought all their Southern ways with them. Their style, the way they stand, the way they talk, the mores, the way they do things, their integrity. And so August captured that authentically. And so when he finds actors who know these people like he does intimately, he sticks with them because they know his music.
Is this something that an actor can learn, or is it just something that's in your body from having heard it and grown up with it and been surrounded by it?
Everybody that's black doesn't carry an August Wilson card in their pocket, trust me. It's easy to discern who can do it and who cannot do it. As a person who's directed several August Wilson productions, I know when you come in the room whether you know the rhythm.
I seen Bynum out there with them pigeons before.
No, look at this. That pigeon flopped out of Bynum's hand, and he about to have a fit. He down there on his hands and knees behind the bush looking all over for that pigeon, and it on the other side of the yard. See it over there?
Mm-hmm. Come on and get your breakfast and leave that man alone.
Look at him. He's still looking. He ain't seen it yet. All that mumbo-jumbo nonsense. I don't know why I put up with it.
Tell me about the character you play in Gem of the Ocean, Caesar. He's probably the closest August Wilson comes to creating a villain, and this kind of character recurs in other plays throughout the cycle. What is it about Caesar and these other characters that August condemns?
You know, it's funny because when I hear the word villain, it kind of puts a little hair up on me. He's not the villain. He has a way of doing things that I guess everybody else doesn't agree with. Caesar first is a law enforcement man, and then he's a businessman. He speaks on both levels. Unfortunately, his manners, the way he deals with things, are final. He's all about money. He's all about the way the man does things. He's who is in charge. Let me follow those rules, and I know I can get ahead if I play your game.
I got to play the hand that was dealt to me. You look around, see you black. You look at the calendar, slavery is over. I'm a free man. I can wake up whatever time I want to in the morning. I can move all over and pick any woman I want. I can walk down the street to the store, buy anything my money will buy. There ain't nothing I can't have. I'm starting out with nothing. I got to get a little something.
I could play him completely different. I could make you love him.
Really?
I could make you love him.
Do you think August Wilson loved him?
I think August Wilson loves every character he wrote.
Really?
Because each and every one of those characters are redeemable. They're all flawed and they're all redeemable. They all can be delivered to another place.
When you look at the cycle of 10 plays, how do you see these themes of striving and success evolving and changing over the cycle?
You know, August had so many messages and so many metaphors. What I find in all of his plays is everyone is searching to be whole. They're searching to matter. You know, whatever their lot is in life, they're searching for some opportunity to say, I am somebody. I mean, I belong, I count. whether it's Headley saying Buddy Bolden's going to bring me my money and 7 guitars, or whether it's Reverend Avery said I'm going to open up a church in a piano lesson, or whether it's Floyd saying I'm going to Chicago and make me another hit record. You know, everybody's saying, I want to matter, because if you really look at it, the majority of the people in this country of color, in the big scheme of things, don't feel that they count. They don't feel that they matter.
So I asked Todd Kreidler, who's white and worked closely with Wilson, whether he thinks audiences of different races respond differently to these plays. He said once people get into the theater, they generally go with it.
But given America's history and the fact that August puts that history downstage center, I think it makes people very uncomfortable, and it makes them, they either feel bad or aren't they over that yet? Why are they still talking about that? And, you know, I'm hoping this country turns around, and I think we get far enough away from it, the work will get more and more absorbed, hopefully into the theater and into our literature, and we'll recognize what the accomplishment is, because it's stunning. I mean, this is, I mean, you talk about, you know, the theater is Western European, we brought it here, but this cycle of plays is definitively American. This is an American cycle, and nobody has touched this accomplishment.
Do you think he ever felt bound by the project?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, it was dogging him towards the end, and he had a lot more going on. He had novels, all kinds of other plays, this wild comedy. He was writing about coffin makers, many, many, many short stories that were out there. So as his friend, I still felt that he was cut off in the midst of life and that, you know, there's no telling where he would have gone.
That's Todd Kreidler. We also heard from Kenny Leon and Ruben Santiago Hudson. They're all part of August Wilson's 20th Century, running through April 6th at the Kennedy Center in Washington. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by David Rector and Ned Wharton, with production help from Vince Pearson, Rebecca Martinez, Gemma Waters, and David Shulman. We had help from our librarians, Kim Oleski and Mary Glendenning. Our technical director is Burke Hun, with engineers Kevin Maynor and Kevin Waite. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman. Our senior editor is Jenny Bergel, and our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. I'm Ari Shapiro. ¶¶